history through the eyes of those who lived it. This is Hometown Heroes, proudly honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the program that reminds you no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, there are some stories there that need to be told, and we're always better off having heard them. The idea is to honor our veterans for their service and sacrifice, to preserve their stories so we never forget the price that's been paid for our freedom. And along the way, we learn a lot. We're educated, we're entertained. So often we leave inspired by these stories from our greatest generation. You know, it's been quite a few years since the late Louis Zamperini shared his story here on Hometown Heroes, but not only is it a story that never gets old, it's a story that keeps getting better because the impact of his incredible life continues to grow. Typically, we spend the hour talking to a veteran whose name you've never heard, but the Zamperini name was in the headlines more than 80 years ago as a track star, and in quite a few more headlines in recent years as his story of Olympian turned airman turned prisoner of war has amazed people around the world. Perhaps you've read the best-selling book Unbroken by Laura Hillenbrand. Maybe you've seen the acclaimed film by the same name. But the reality we'll focus on today is that neither the book nor the film would exist without the dramatic turnaround in the guy they once called Lucky Louis' life after he came home from captivity in World War II. Like countless veterans then and so many veterans today, Louis Zamperini dealt with the terrorizing effects of post-traumatic stress disorder. The story of that haunting pain and how he overcame that to become a shining example of resilience, grace, and forgiveness is told in the new film Unbroken, Path to Redemption, which opens September 14th in theaters nationwide. While the first Unbroken film, directed by Angelina Jolie, told of his extreme experiences in World War II and his incredible will to survive, it didn't have time to capture his post-war journey, which proved to be just as fierce a battle. The sequel, put together by the same producer, picks up where the first film leaves off, and it shows us the role his wife Cynthia played in his transformation and what it took for Louis to get to the point that he could return to Japan and forgive those who had beaten and tortured him. Before we're done, we're going to hear from a few voices, including the author of Unbroken, Laura Hillenbrand, who was kind enough to join us, and from Louis himself from years ago. But let's start with the audio from this short trailer for Unbroken, Path to Redemption.
Bless you, Louis. Welcome home. All of Torrance was praying for your safe return.
Miracles didn't save me, Padre. A couple of atomic bombs did that.
You're Louis Zamperini, aren't you? Thank you.
For what?
For preserving the free world for silly girls like me.
People from all over the country want to know if you're going to run in the London Olympics.
I don't run to run. I run to win.
I just thought I'd be able to forget everything.
You're having any night sweats or nightmares?
You need help.
Here tonight, there's a drowning man. But there's a lifeline. Just reach out.
These men did terrible things to you. What are you gonna say to them?
If you've read Unbroken or heard Louis' story, you know what he said to them, but you'll see it and feel it in this new film. By the way, you can watch that official trailer at unbrokenfilm.com. I also have it up for you at hometownheroesradio.com and the Hometown Heroes Facebook page, where you will find information about the red carpet event that's going to take place in Fresno, California on September 15th. Louis' son Luke Zamperini will be there, as will the actor who plays Louis in this new film. You may know him from the series Chicago PD. Samuel C. Hunt says the chance to portray Louis Zamperini, and especially this emotional portion of his story, is the role of a lifetime.
And the reason that Path to Redemption, I think, is so important and that it's an essential part of the overall arc of who this man was and what his story means to people is that we all have experienced trauma, we all have experienced heartache, and oftentimes it makes us better, but what we don't usually deal with or we don't usually understand is that there is a second wave that comes from our perseverance and from our victories. And sometimes that second wave is actually the thing that is gonna force us to make the most growth and step into the people that we, into kind of our true selves. So this point in his life is about him when he's at almost at his most vulnerable. He's at his most exposed to his own demons and his things that he can't hide from. He can't just figure his way through.
To be part of telling Louis Zamperini's story, it's pretty indescribable. You're talking about one of the greatest American heroes in our history, not only through his actions, but also just as a human being, and the way that he dedicated his life after the fact, you know, what he went through, where he came from, then how he dedicated his life. I mean, the story is just immense. When it comes to acting, that's all you want to do. So you just want to tell great stories. You want to be a part of great stories. And so the source material on this is just uncanny. You know, it's second to none. You know, hopefully as an inspiring story for people who find themselves in those particular points in their life where they look around and they feel like there's nothing else that they can latch onto. There's nothing else they can connect with.
So many people, including author Laura Hillenbrand, who we'll hear from in a bit, have found themselves in those places. And Louis Zamperini's persevering spirit has had a giant impact in their lives. Louis passed away in 2014, but his family remains committed to carrying on his legacy. Louis's son, Luke Zamperini, knows just how important it was to his father for people to draw hope and strength and inspiration from what he experienced after World War II.
Coming home from the war was not the end of his story. It was really only just the beginning. What we're covering in Unbroken, the path to redemption, of course, is the rest of the story, at least up to the point where he goes back to forgive his prison guards. What wasn't covered in the first film was, of course, the effects of the war in the prison camp on my dad. He had post-traumatic stress disorder, which, of course, they didn't know what that was in those days. And it was really taking a toll on his life and his marriage. He began to self-medicate. He began to become very much a different person, very angry, very combative. I mean, if you cut him off in the roadway, he'd pull you over and pull you out of the car and beat the stuffing out of you. And so when he was at the end of his rope finally and went into that Billy Graham tent meeting in 1949 and was reconciled to his maker, in the book Unbroken, Laura Hillenbrand brought out the fact that there were thousands of GIs that had crashed into the Pacific Ocean and probably had the same experience that my dad had, drifting on life rafts and sharks and all that, but he lived to tell about it. And the fact that he was a famous athlete that seemingly had come back from the dead at the end of the war was really wonderful, and it was a great story, but having the post-traumatic stress disorder and going down the tubes, his story would have never have had the impact that it had with him being able to find redemption and then be able to forgive his captors and indeed go back to Japan and look them in the eye and tell them, I love you and I forgive you. That's what makes the story so remarkable. My dad often said that if you hate somebody, you're not doing anything to that person. That person is not feeling your hatred, but the hatred is eating you alive. So the forgiveness was essential to my father being able to heal himself. And so, but you ask yourself, how do you forgive someone who's beat you every day for 2 years? My dad had to love the bird, Watanabe, with the same love that God had for him when he sent his son to the cross to die for his sin and our sins. That's pretty big. And that's, the Bible says, with men these things are impossible, but with God all things are possible.
Anyone who has read Unbroken or seen the first film knows that so much of Louis Zamperini's story defies what most of us would view as possible. That, of course, is what makes it so powerful. And what's more impactful than hearing the story from Louis himself? His incredible enthusiasm and energy well into his 90s was one of the things people marveled at the most before his passing in 2014 at the age of 97. We had the privilege of hearing him share his story here on Hometown Heroes in 2011, and we're going to listen back to some of that today. You can link to the original episode, complete with his adventures on and off the track at the 1936 Olympics, at hometownheroesradio.com. But for the purposes of our focus today, we're going to start in late May 1943. Louis, who had already survived some very close calls as a B-24 bombardier in the Pacific, was sent on a search and rescue mission that would forever alter the course of his life.
A B-25 is reported going down 200 miles north of the island of Palmyra, and we want you to go look for him. Well, we know our plane was being serviced. And he said, well, there's the Green Hornet. Well, nobody wanted to fly the Green Hornet. It couldn't get off of the ground with a bomb load. When it did get off the ground, it was a musher. Tail was down, the nose was up, and they said, well, it passed inspection, and so that's like an order. So we decided to go down and look for the B-25. We got down just where the plane reported last, and we began to circle. Now, the cloud cover was broken cloud at 1,000 feet. Now, we fly a search mission at 1,000 feet so you can see something. However, because of the broken cloud, we couldn't really see the ocean, so we flew under. That put us down to 800 feet. And we're scanning the ocean, and suddenly the number one motor goes out. Well, that plane could hardly fly on four, so we're having a struggle. They were trying to keep the plane straight and level and keep the altitude. The number two motor goes out. Well, with two motors on this plane, the Green Hornet just nosed over to the left wing down and just plowed right into the ocean and blew up. Pieces all over the place. Oxygen tank, gas tank, and what have you. And then, of course, the plane sank. But there were two life rafts that ejected from the plane automatically. I was trapped in the waist section. My job is to hold a deflated raft in my arms in front of me. And as soon as we crashed, I ducked down low behind the tripod of the machine gun mount, and I ended up under the mount with the raft under my belly and my back up against the tripod. So I'm in there so solid, I doubt if two men could have got me out. And then the tail snapped off. When the tail snapped off, all the control wires go within an inch and a half of the tripod. And those are springy wires. They just curl up. They curled up all around me to make my situation even tougher. And I knew this was it. I knew that it started to sink. And I felt my ears pop, so I knew I was down 20 feet. And then I kept sinking down into the darkness. And then I felt a terrible pain in my forehead. And I don't know what that was, but it felt like someone hit me with a sledgehammer. And then I lost consciousness. Now, before I lost consciousness, I just said to myself, God, help me. And then I lost consciousness. And then while I'm still sinking to greater depths, even greater pressure, I'm conscious again. And just momentarily, I felt a kind of a euphoria that, hey, this is the afterlife. So I knew there was no way I could get out. And then I realized I was still in the plane, and I was fighting for air, so I started to flail around with my arms. I'm in the waist section of the ship, pitch dark, and my USC ring on my index finger snagged onto the waist window. And that's what I was looking for. And then I realized what it was. I pulled myself out, inflated my life jacket, swallowing everything. I swallowed gas, oil, and blood all the way to the surface, threw it all up. And then I came up and looked. I heard, help, help. So the pilot and tail gunner were over hanging onto a gas tank, and they saw me. And they called it, help, help. So the life raft was drifting away in the current, so I'm trying to catch the raft. But I'm fully clothed with shoes on, and I couldn't catch the raft. And I thought, this is it, we're dead. And then as I turned back to look at the pilot and the tail gunner, there's a 100-foot cord attached to the trigger on the CO2 cartridge on the raft. And it's also embedded in the fuselage of the ship. And that's what inflates that raft. As I looked over towards the other two guys, the last 3 feet of that cord was going by my face. And somewhat submerged. I couldn't really see it until it got close to me. And I grabbed that and reeled the raft back in, and that saved our lives, that raft. And then I rode to my buddies, and the pilot's head had two gashes. Blood was spurting, arterial blood. And so I had to, first of all, get a compress made out of my T-shirt. And I took another T-shirt and tied that down tight. And the funny thing is, I heard a gurgling sound. I looked around, I couldn't see anything, and then never heard another sound. So somebody had come to the surface, badly wounded, and just trying to say help, I guess, but it sounded gurgling, and then we couldn't find anything. So whoever it was, it just came to the surface momentarily and then sank.
8 of the 11 men on that bomber died in the crash, and we'll hear Louis Zamperini pick it up from there when we come back. But consider for a moment just the sheer improbability of his surviving what you just heard him describe. If he hadn't made it through, we wouldn't be talking about this new movie, Unbroken, Path to Redemption, let alone the movie or book that preceded it. We're going to hear from the author of that book, Laura Hillenbrand, before we're done today, and more in Louis' own words when Hometown Heroes comes right back after this. Do you ever have those moments where you realize you've been settling for less than the best for far too long? Sometimes we just accept the status quo without looking around for better ways to do things. And I've got to tell you, when it comes to your money, I believe I found a better way with EECU. Take a look at myeecu.org and you'll see why. EECU is not a bank. It's a nonprofit credit union that's all about taking care of you, the member. That's one of the reasons EECU just keeps growing and growing. Close to 300,000 members now in 10 different California counties. Over 30,000 ATMs, free mobile banking. And what I really love is how EECU always goes above and beyond to serve the community. In 2013, the leadership and generosity of EECU helped establish Central Valley Honor Flight. More than 1,000 veterans now have gotten to see their memorials in Washington, D.C. for free. And that's just one example of the community involvement EECU takes oh so seriously. Pick up the phone and become a member today. 1-800-538-3328. That's 800-538-3328.